It is entitled Yotam. Yeah, I came up with that. I'm so clever. Year of the meeting. And so my goal is to make that word part of our lexicon or whatever you call it by the end of this year. And so mark that down, Yotam. We'll see how we do. If you never hear it again after today, you'll know I failed. But that's my goal. Last week I declared 2019 to be the year of the meeting. And I was inspired by Paul, who was encouraging people not to give up. And part of his instructions was don't give up meeting together. That was a critical element as a part of being able to stay on fire for God, to stay connected, to finish the race that we've been called to. Sometimes we mention that kind of more as a work, like, you know, you should come to church, or if you don't, you're a bad person type thing. But, that, you know, that's really not how we should be looking at that. It's really more about, you know, forming an army, you know, becoming an invincible force, and the benefits that we receive by coming together. And we need each other. And maybe I'm the only one that knows that because I am so needy. I don't know. But I know that I've learned, well, because I've been prideful. And I can still be prideful. I can think, you know what, I just do it myself. Just get out of my way. I don't need nobody. And because I hurt like everybody else, and so you say those kind of things. You just watch me, you know. I'll win the world and you'll all be sorry. And all those guys, you know, I don't know. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but you understand the sentiment, right? And so I did that. And then I found out, you know what? I don't have it together. I can't do it all by myself. I am the least likely of all people to be able to fulfill all those things. And then I realized that Jesus prepared a people for me. He prepared a body that I could belong to. He prepared people with gifts that could surround me and help me to have the victory that he meant for me. And when I realized that, it changed a lot of things in my life. We need each other. By yourself, it's too easy for your enemy, the devil, to pick you off. It's just too easy for him to manipulate your attitudes, your thoughts, how you feel about life, how you view your destiny, all those kinds of things. And we know that in the last days, that many people are going to be picked off. We've even seen many people that we love, you know, that are no longer around. And I don't mean they're no longer around here at Abundant Life Family Church. I mean, they're not even in church anyplace. They're just kind of like have given up. And it's sad, and it's not what God has called us to. It's just too easy to happen. I mean, when you're out there, and I'm telling you, and you're feeling all alone, and nobody loves you, and you're pulling all the weight yourself, it's not a good place to be. It's hard to be enthusiastic and feel good about your life when you're in that spot. I mean, the devil just plays with you. And we know that in the last days it's going to be that way. He's told us that. And so that's why we know it's true. But we've also get to see this. To think that we will be exempt from this temptation is foolish. I mean, if you're wandering around just thinking you've got it all together in Jesus, just, you know, you and Jesus. I mean, you better, I'm just telling you, we have an enemy that's been around. I don't want to exalt the devil, but it's not that he's that powerful, but we're just that dumb. And so we need each other. I need you. By myself, I am less. If you will not be there for me, what are my options? If you're willing. Let's say you're the one that's willing. You're willing to meet with others, and I hope you are because you're here, so I'm preaching kind of to the choir. But, you know, so you're willing, but your brothers and sisters in Christ, they're not willing. They got their own issues. And so, sorry, can't be there for you right now. Maybe, well, I know it's been a few years, but check back some other time. But right now, I got my own stuff. And so there you are, and you need your brothers and sisters in Christ. You need to be surrounded by them. You need what they have and all that, but they're not there. What are your options? Where do you go if you can't go to the body of Christ? If you can't go to your brothers and sisters that God has given to you as a part of the army, the wall? What do you do? What's your second choice? Well, I'll just tell you what it is. Their unwillingness to meet with you will cause you to suffer. That's the bottom line. You will suffer because people won't be there the way that God has called them to be. You will suffer because I will not be there the way that God has called me to, not to the extent that He has said. Maybe on some good days I'll be a wonderful pastor and you'll think it's wonderful, and I suppose we can compare things, but I'm telling you, compared to Jesus Christ, I will fall way, way, way short. And so that's why I need you, you know, to be on my side, to be there to pray for me and to love me and to help me through this thing. When you fail to meet, when we fail to meet with one another, as friends, as Christian brothers and sisters, you first of all, you hurt yourself, but more importantly, you hurt others. It's like getting a flat tire. How many of you have got a flat tire? You get a flat tire on the side of the road, and no one's around to help you. You know, we were talking the other day about, you know, one of the kids, not our kids, this is the story someone was telling me, their car wouldn't start out at Walmart, and they call Dad, and Dad runs out there and gets them a jump and gets them going. Praise God, it's good to have dads, right? Whether it's a dad or a friend or whoever it is, whether it's just a friendly person that's coming out of the store, someone willing to help, that's a blessing, isn't it? But what about when there's no one to help? What do you do? Well, I guess you just do the best you can, right? And you're going to be subjected to some suffering. It's going to be hard. And when we fail to meet, we subject each other to suffering. And, you know, it's not just about us and our need. See, I'm talking about coming to church, but it's more than that, okay? We need to find ways to be available for each other. I'm talking more just about the attitude of our hearts towards one another, the way that we see each other, the way that we value each other, the way we look at our lives. Do I need you? Yes, I do. Do you need the people in the church? Yes, you do. And this trickery thinking that, you know, we're just going to diss the church and say we don't need it anymore and the church is whatever, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I don't know. It can be all those bad things, but that doesn't mean there isn't the right way. And we shouldn't just abandon the church. We shouldn't abandon meeting together. You know, I'm talking about the church, but it's more than that. We need to find ways to be available for each other. And, you know, I tend to make the battle cry this year, YOTAM. So, and I'm hoping I can hear it off of coming off your lips before the year is over. We'll be saying either YOTAM. Maybe I don't know if we'll greet each other that way or say goodbye. Year of the meeting. We're going to emphasize the importance of getting together. Paul saw that it was important. And he made mention, make sure that in these last days that you don't neglect that. Because it's so important. Again, we're not talking about a religious thing. You got to come to church. I wish we could get rid of the word church today, you know, in some respects. And it wasn't always called church. I don't know where that word came from. They used to call it the way. I don't know. Call it something. But we're just a fellowship of believers that love one another. And so I want that to become a part of our conversation. Go with me to Matthew chapter 18, verse 19. Now, this is Jesus speaking. He says again. So he's emphasizing it. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For whether two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. And so he's showing us that the power that we have as Christians is, you have all the power of Christ in you, but we're not able to operate it that way. We need each other. And, you know, when we get together, the power that we have goes up exponentially. And, you know, one can do so much work, but two can do a lot more than twice the work. And so he's making this point that when you come together, there is power in that. And some of the weakness that you experience in your life, some of the defeats, some of the things that are so hard for you, is simply because you don't have someone on your team. You can live in the same house, you can be married, you can be going through all these things and not have someone on your team. And so when we were talking about meeting together, you know, we're talking about helping one another, praying with one another, battling with one another. Because I'm telling you, the enemy cannot stand against that. Maybe we could once sort of get by without gathering. But even if that's true, which I don't think it was, not anymore. Not in the days that we live in. We need each other. And we need to practice agreeing with each other and being connected with each other and loving each other. And, you know, when you don't love people, when you're not connected to them, it's so easy to just not worry about them. But when you get connected, you start loving each other, suddenly you become intimately concerned about what's going on in their lives. At the other end of this building is a gym. It's CrossFit, called CrossFit. People gather there to work out physically. They make New Year's resolutions to get their acts together. I'm supposed to go back next week. And that has some benefit to it, okay? But we need to be gathering at this end of the building for spiritual workouts. And it's a lot more important. And those people will go there faithfully twice, three times, five times a week, six times, and do their workouts. And can't wait to get there. And as Christians, you know, we should want to do our workouts. We should consider it something that it's not up for discussion or, well, we'll just blow that off. It ought to be something we consider a vital part of our lives. Now, I just want to make this so clear. I'm not trying to guilt anyone, but I do want to encourage you because it's important. If you will answer this call to meet regularly and often, and I don't mean just here at this building, I mean just in life. Make times for one another. Invent ways to do it. If you'll do that, you will be so blessed. You know, God put this matter on my heart. And it's in His Word. And so I know it's true. I can make that promise to you without any doubt that if you will answer this call and you'll begin to put these things to practice in your life, you will experience life in a different way. We're celebrating 25 years, praise God. 25 years we've been around. The first official meeting was December 12th, 1993. We looked it up. That's the first time we took an offering. And we were incorporated. I forgot the date. I was going to look this up. I forgot to. But it was in January of 1994 was when we were officially incorporated. And so I just don't want this to be the year we dry up. There's a lot of places drying up. And I don't want to be one of them. And I want us to pick up our game. And I know that I can't ask you to help me pick up our game if I'm not willing to pick up my game. And so I just want to be excited about Jesus. And I'm not going to lie to you. 2019 will be a hard year for a lot of people. But I am determined to make it our best year spiritually. And I'm not going to sit back and watch God's people get decimated while I cry, oh me, oh my. You know, I'm just so tired of that. Because we have all the tools that we need to have victory. We should be the ones making the devil say, oh me, oh my. Not the ones who go around all the time just wondering why it's all so tough and dreary. I'd rather do a belly flop in a pool full of porcupines than to let myself become too exhausted to meet with you. Oh, I'm just I don't know. You don't know what my day's been like. This week has been so tough. I think I'm just gonna sleep in today. They can get by without me. And I don't want to be that person. I understand. I'm getting older, and I know that sometimes when you get older, you're probably not going to be as active as you were at some times. And so, but in my heart, I don't want to be that person. Bible Coach is starting next Sunday night. And you should just consider coming. I'm serious about this. There's a small fee, but it's only a suggestion. It's free. You can pay any amount that you want. But making it into a class that you complete and you get a certificate and all that, it just helps us to stay motivated, because there's going to be Sunday nights when we feel like staying home. Like, I have to watch one more video. Some preacher online, I'm just going to croak. No, but it's fun. It's fun because we get together and we have coffee and whatever. It's just fun. And you will be blessed. If you talk to the people that have been going through those classes and the ones that, I mean, they are blessed. And they talk about it. They talk about the things they learned and all that. I know you think I'm wonderful and that you can get everything you need from Pastor Doug, but it's not true. There are other people that have good things to say that are good for us to hear. Even if they're bad, you need to figure out why it's bad. You're still getting smarter, right? It's the same material taught by the same instructors at Karis Bible College, only there you have to pay thousands of dollars to go to it, and you have to move there. Well, I guess you can take it online, and even then, if you take it online by yourself, you're not really meeting with anybody, and you still got to pay thousands of dollars. But you can come here and be a part of it for free or for a small fee, whatever you want to do. I don't care if you join a gym. I recommend it, but I recommend Bible Coach a lot more. And, you know, we used to have church on Sunday night every Sunday. And so this is just like Sunday night church. You just go in a different way, and there's class times all over the place. Anyway. All right, enough of that. Y'all look sold. You know, I was in sales for years and years. I used to be good at it. But I'm still. Praise God. All right, here we go. Revelations chapter 1, verse 8. You know how I know if I'm good at it? If one more person signs up. And everybody bow their head, close their eyes. Lord, I know you're speaking to a heart here right now. And you're telling them that they should go to those classes. And they're wrestling with it. But I just thank you that you confirm it in their heart. And we pray for them to loose them, to free them, so that they'll get to do that. We give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Go to Revelations 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Okay, so now I want you to just listen here. Before I go on, I want you to listen to who is speaking. It's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The A and the Z. The one who is, the one who was, and the one who is to come. He's coming back. Jesus, he's coming back, the Almighty. And he's speaking here. And so this is what he has to say. Going on in chapter 2 here, he says, "You have persevered." And have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Praise God. He gave him an attaboy. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. You don't want the lampstand to go out. You don't want the light to go out. And the way you make the light go out in your life is just by resisting the light that you do see instead of embracing it. This is one temptation of many, and Jesus speaks to us in Revelations. Revelations is a book that pertains to last day. And if this wasn't a real threat, he wouldn't have warned us. To think that this is about some other church, which is what we traditionally do. Well, that'd be good for that church to hear. Just like a lot of times when we hear sermons, well, that'd be good for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or to hear this sermon. think that's just foolish. This is a warning to the worldwide body of Christ. It's a warning to the local body, Abundant Life Family Church, and it's a warning individually to each of us. This is just something that happens to Christians. It's just something that, we just don't normally just become Christians and just flourish from then on out because we have an enemy. But the warning comes with an opportunity. That's the fun part. So see, if you're living under the warning part, you're like, oh me, oh my, this is depressing. But if you're looking at the opportunity part, you're thinking, all right, praise God. We're not condemned to this failure. You don't have to be the one who dries up. That doesn't have to be you. We can overcome. I can slap myself. No big deal. Sometimes when I'm driving down the highway, I'm falling asleep. If that doesn't do it, I do it harder. And I can actually do that and take that. And there's not going to be any bruises there. I didn't hit myself that hard. But I'm going to tell you something. If you just walk up and sucker punch me out of nowhere unexpectedly with half the force I just used, I would not think it was funny. I'd think you shot me. And it'd be hard for me not to become really, really angry. Your enemy, the devil, is going to attempt to strike you. And if you're locked in, with the rest of us, his blow won't rattle you. But if you're out in the world going it alone, doing your own thing, you don't really need the church, that kind of thing, attitude, his hit will feel like a knockout punch. It's just not going to be fun. You're going to feel like it's unsurvivable, and yet countless Christians have survived much worse. I want three big guys. Josh, you're a big guy. Come on up here for a minute. He's never got to be an example at church. We just will embarrass him. And I guess Brian, come on up here. And I should probably include a gal, but whatever. I guess I'm... Anyway, come on, Mike. I say Mike. All right. You guys get together there. You're like a team, okay? You're like the tackles and the guards, and you're like whatever, okay? You guys are just on the street one day, and here I come along. Come on, buddy. Now I'm ready to. I'm going to lay out, buddy. They're laughing at me, for Pete's sakes. And look, some concerned. That is just sad. I can't believe I'm not scarier than that. And I guess that plays into the sermon well. So, I might actually be able to pop one of them. I don't know. But I'll guarantee you I'm not going to win the battle. I'll guarantee you it'll be over in short order, somebody will be sitting on top of me. And it won't be good. You can give them a good hand clap. Oh, you stay here, Brian. Now, Brian, he's out there. He's kind of by himself. He's doing his own thing. He don't really have time for Josh or anybody else. And, he's got it going on. He's busy. Stuff to do. And he's just walking down the street, doing whatever. Oh, stop there. Don't look at me. I can't. No, you're not looking at me. And I come up. And I go kabam and knock him. I might be able to take him out. I can certainly set him back. I can, I can certainly make his day a bad day. And it won't be the same as if he was standing there with three guys or two guys or whatever. It's gonna seem a lot worse. And that's why we need one another. Give Brian a hand clap. He just took that hit really good. And so I'm just telling you, when you are attacked by the enemy, which you will be in this life, that's why it seems so tough, is because you just don't have enough people connected to you. You're trying to do it alone. You're trying to, be a one-man show, tough, I don't know. But we need each other. And when we have each other, life goes better. It's just a lot easier. And to think that we don't need each other is just foolish. If I sucker punch you by yourself, you might be screaming and yelling. I don't know if Brian ever cusses or not, but I might be able to make him cuss. When the blow of the enemy comes, which it will, do you want to be standing ready in a group, or do you want to be sucker punched? You should not want to be sucker punched. But even if you're willing to risk it, you know, even if you're willing to, whatever, bring it on. You're out there walking, you're willing to risk it. You shouldn't be willing to put me at risk. You shouldn't be willing to subject me to being sucker punched, to leaving me alone, to fend for myself to the best of my ability. You should want to be there to help me with the life struggles. You should want to be there for that person next to you to help them with their life struggles. So even if you don't want to do it for yourself, you should do it just for the people, the other people that God loves. You need to be in your position when the enemy comes and not act like a deserter. And this is where our benefit, this is where our joy is. This is the victory that we have. This is where living the Christian life is an exciting thing. You know, we've been working together for 25 years, getting ready for these times. And the blows that we have taken, they've been nothing but battle training, just practicing. There have been good times and there have been hard times. And what I have discovered, what we've discovered in the process of being around this long, is that even though we can be too weak in ourselves, God gives us the victory. He just somehow just does it. And in fact, I'm convinced that He wants to convince me that I can't do it myself and that we can't do it, but that He will. And when we're willing to acknowledge that and let Him do it, then that's when He does His good stuff. And that's why we cannot give up. Not in this hour, not in this time, not the days that we live in. People who have been sucker punched, they're going to be coming through those doors. I believe that with all of my heart. You know, because every time we have a little tremor, somebody just writes a book and says Jesus is coming back, and they flood in the doors. And real tremors are going to come. Real earthquakes, real trouble in people's lives. And they're going to be sucker punched and bruised and down out, and they're finally had enough of themselves, and they're going to come through these doors looking for hope wherever they can find it. Will you be coming through those doors with them, or will you be here with us ready to greet them? Really what we're talking about. Do you want to come in with them, or do you want to be here with us to receive them? God is looking for someone God is not looking for someone who has it all together. He's just looking for someone who's willing. That's all He wants. That's all He asks. Just be willing. And you don't have to be the greatest army on earth. You just have to be God's army. And Israel figured that out over and over and over. You know, when they were God's army, it didn't matter how big the enemy was. It didn't matter what the enemy's plans were. It didn't matter how many numbers they came in. And, the stories were just miraculous. But when they were trying to do their own thing and their own strength with their own might, they found out they couldn't even beat a tiny army. God's not looking for super soldiers. He's just looking for someone who will be willing. Someone who's willing to just stand in their place. God has a place for you to stand in. He's looking for someone who will stand in their place so that others might be saved. Who's going to be here when those folks come? Who's going to be triage? Who's going to be the ones with the band-aids and the help and the care and the experience The ones who've gone through the battles and have learned that what winning is. One who knows that the enemy can make a mighty roar, but he don't have no teeth. Can't really do nothing. And you know, you gain that through experience by standing firm in the things of God, and you experience it in your life over and over and over, so you have a different perspective. See, you're going to be in one of three groups. You're going to just be the group that's lost. Or you're going to be in the group of those that are standing. Hopefully you'll be decided to be in that group. Or you're going to be in the group that's coming in to those who are standing. And praise God that God loves them and He's preparing people to receive them, get ready for them. And that's what He's about. They're the ones whose lives are in danger. Our lives are secure. We've got it made, so we need to be being ready. Do you want to save yourself? Do you want to experience victory in your life? Do you want the joy, to experience the joy of winning, even in the middle of a battle? Do you want to have just that confidence in your life that you're going to win? Some people get up every day and they're just a hope, and they just feel like any minute they're going to be swallowed up. This might be the day the banker comes to take the house. This may be the day whatever. Just a hair breadth away from a disaster. They just can't sleep at night and all those things. That's a horrible way to win, to live. God has something much better. And you don't even need money to have it better. You just have to have faith. Do you want the joy of winning? What it feels like to get up every day and know that you have good prospects because you belong to a body of believers? Then if you want that, then you have to stop spending all your life trying to secure your life. You never get there. It never happens. No matter how hard you work, double down, triple down, quadruple down, no matter even if you're successful and you get the money and the jobs and the promotions and you're stacking it up in the banks and stuff like that, you still never escape the threat that's over your life. People who are panicked, sometimes more so. And so you just have to stop that. You just have to say no to it. And you turn outward and upward and you come stand with others and you just believe God and you let Him take care of your life. And trust me, He will order it. He will take care of it. Let God defend you. See, we're so afraid that if we put ourselves at risk that God won't defend us. We're going to be left out there by ourselves, and so we better make sure that in case God don't defend us, that we can take care of it. That's a bad plan, because you can't take care of it, and the only choice you have is to let God take care of it, so you better just throw in with that and go with that, and you know what you find out? God takes care of it. Let Him use you to defend others. And, you know, if you just start doing that in your life, everything just gets sweeter. Start at home, instead of always just worrying about the things you need, you know, think about what someone else needs. You know, I don't know if I shared this here on Sunday or not, but I was sitting at home one day in my chair. I'm just kind of looking around the room and the house, and you know, you don't really appreciate the things you have. You just take things for granted. And, you know, I was sitting there looking at stuff, and I seen the little decorations and the socks hung on the stair banister and the tree decorated. And I just seeing all these little things that my wife did. You know, and I start looking around, and half time I don't even know what's in there. And there's like these family photos on the wall of the kids and the cousins and nieces, nephews, all that kind of stuff. And suddenly it was just like a light switched on, and every item I looked at was her saying she loved us. It was just a woman's love for her family, for her home, and what she was doing. And you know, I thought of all the times that I kind of, well, not all of them, that I had demeaned her, maybe even fussed about stuff, you know, and all just, you know, just implied some selfish motive or what it was. And suddenly I just saw it different. And I thought, my heavens, you are a blessed man. And you have it so wonderful. And you don't even realize it. And then I realized that, you know, every day of my life's that way. We have so many blessings in our life. We have so much going for us. There's so much good. There's so many, you know, being a part of the body of Christ is just invaluable. I mean, just to have a brother or somebody that loves you. I got people here that I'm a lot closer to than I ever was anybody in my family. And, you know, it's just a wonderful, wonderful way to live. To know that you're not by yourself, that you're around people that love you, care for you. And sometimes we just don't take the time because we don't to acknowledge it, to see it. And it's a blessing when we do. And I just want to encourage you. So we're going to talk about this a lot. Yotam, you're in the meeting. We need to make a decision to just to get to our gym. And whether that's going with somewhere to dinner, whether that's hosting a function like Jared's doing tomorrow night, doing a bonfire. We should just show up. Even if we don't go out there and sit, we should just show up just to be a blessing to Jared. And if all of us showed up tomorrow night, Jared, and plus some, would you be excited about that? Yeah. And what if you show up and Patrick bails on you and you're the only person here? There you go. And so that's how it is. Now, some of you, I understand how things, I'm not trying to get, but anyway, just understand my heart. My heart is that we receive the benefit that Christ wants us to have. And to come together, to be an army together, to be an encouragement to one another. And I know that can be hard sometimes. Sometimes we can be the meanest to each other. That's what families are kind of like that. And this is a family. And I apologize for that. I know sometimes I'm not always the best actor, and I know that people are not always the best actors with each other. And the Bible talks about that and teaches us those kinds of things, and we can talk all about that. Should we spend all day talking about it, or we'll move on, okay? And but we need each other because it's an advantage. And so I hope that you'll give yourselves to one another and enjoy the benefits that God wants. Father God, I thank you so much for your goodness. Come on up, man. We thank you so much for your goodness, your mercy. Thank you, Lord. Yotam, you're the meeting. And may we purpose in our hearts to adopt one another truly more than we ever have. To not consider it optional. To not consider a brother and sister in the Lord someone who's expendable that we don't need. Lord, that we would love them intimately and dearly and want to keep them close to ourselves. That we would pray for them, not accuse them, not to look down upon them. Lord, what a wonder they are. Father, I thank you that you've fearfully and wonderfully made each one of us and that we're important to you and that you have a desire for us. Lord, may we be those that are shouting victory when you come back. May we be those that are not asleep, but those that are awake. We give you praise for it today. Lord, thank you so much for your goodness and your mercies. Lord, that we won't be found to be missing in action. That we won't be a deserter on the day that you come back, but we'll be found doing the things that you called us to do. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.